Have you ever been at a point in your life or your career where you thought, there's got to be more to it than this, right? There's got to be more meaning. There's got to be something bigger. I think we all go through those stages, and it doesn't just happen once, from what I'm finding, is we go through those stages as we evolve in our careers, as we learn more, as our life events happen and life changes. And so the topic that we're talking about today is how to go from success to significance. And why we're talking about that is that you can have both, right? You can be significant and be doing something that feels like it's a legacy and really something important and be successful at the same time. But you have to be really aware of where you're at and whether you're doing both of those things and if it matters to you. So I am super excited to have Susan Rylance with me today, who is the VP of Growth, which is the coolest title ever, at Farron. And she is here because her and I got on this subject and we had this great discussion about just, as I say on this call, the jungle gym of our careers. It's not a straight ladder. And it's kind of climbing and changing and evolving and learning. And we got on this topic of success to significance and the people we're talking to in our lives and how there's a lot of us wondering how that works. And so, Susan, thank you for being here. We're excited to hear from you and to hear your journey and how we can relate to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And I'm super excited to talk about this because I have a journey that I can share and hopefully others can relate to. And I've helped others through their journey throughout my career as well.
Awesome. So start with that. I'd love you just to kind of walk the listeners through where you've been, where you've come from, and where you are today, and just to be able to relate.
Yeah. So I will start early on my career, and we all start out with what we think we want to do and what we end up doing. And it actually starts out of college. You have this degree where you think, this is exactly what I'm going to do. So I had a fashion merchandising degree, and I worked in retail management. That's not where I originally wanted to go. I wanted to be a fashion designer in New York.
Which anytime you've seen her in person, like she walked into my office, I'm like, okay, I feel schluppy. Like I can clearly understand you have a fashion background. Anybody who's ever met you.
Well, thank you. And I try to hold that in, you know, in my dress because that piece is important to me. It embodies who I am and kind of that creativeness. So I went into retail management and was in that for a number of years. And then I happened to be working with somebody who was in the recruiting and staffing world. And I knew nothing about it. And this was about 20 years ago. And that person went to work for an organization, and it was administrative and light industrial staffing. And I thought, okay, well, I'll learn about this new industry. So I jumped into that industry, learned that administrative and light industrial staffing and recruiting was not my gig.
Yeah.
However, there's always a path, which we talked about, a path
You're learning
or journey.
Something. Oh.
And I had the opportunity to start up a new division under this larger organization, which was called Digital People. And Digital People was a creative and marketing staffing company. Fast forward to digital age, it's creative, interactive, and marketing staffing. And that's where I was able to kind of come back to my own of that creativeness.
Mm-hmm. And so tie them both together.
It tied them both together. And so I was very fortunate to grow that organization here in Minneapolis to a very formidable, reputable brand in the Twin Cities. I then had the opportunity to take on an initiative to oversee the other locations in Chicago and Boston and bring some commonalities to those businesses. And then I led marketing for a $260 million organization just due to leading other organizations' staffing requests. So through my career, I was able to take that learning from helping other companies grow their marketing teams, and then I was able to do that at Attero, which is a $260 million organization, help them lead their marketing strategy, put together an entire team, lead that initiative, and then I left the industry. I decided I needed a new change. I needed something more, and I thought it was more significant for me. And really, it was I needed a challenge. I needed something to challenge myself for a new career growth for myself. So I went to a smaller organization, led sales and marketing for a small IT consulting company, and realized that wasn't the best fit for me. Mm-hmm. I came full circle and came to join forces with Farron. which is a leadership consulting company.
I love it. And, you know, again, our very similar stories, just in the jungle gym, right, is that it doesn't have to be a straight path. And I think when we leave college, we assume that what we have our degree in is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. And we actually do some coaching for young people out of college, mm-hmm. and as they're, you know, in the first few years of their career. And it's just helping them understand that right now, that's great. Like, do what's in your, you know, prove that out, see if you like it. But don't be married to it. Like, don't feel like that's your only option. And you made a decision freshman year of a degree that now you're stuck to for the rest of your life, because I think so many of us is you're gaining experience, and that's what really success is about, is just building on that experience and pulling experience from different areas into a new position. Yeah. So as you're shifting companies and even industries, you're bringing something that they didn't have before.
Absolutely. And I do feel like there's an opportunity when you change and shift and you realize that maybe it wasn't the right fit, you always learn something. Yep. And although I know that it wasn't the right fit, I wouldn't have known had I not taken that opportunity to try it and then put me in the right direction.
Yeah, and you can learn something from even the ones where you're like, that wasn't a fit, but there's still something you took that you can apply going forward. So, you know, I think a lot of people would look and say, well, I failed because that role didn't work, or, yeah, that job didn't work out, or whatever. And it's not a failure if you're learning from it. Now, it's a failure if you don't learn from it and don't take anything forward, but you should be in a position where you are taking something into that next role.
Absolutely. And that's something I've always coached my team members on, is failure is okay. It's let's just make sure we learn from it.
Yep.
have something to take away from it. And let's not try not to make that same mistake twice. It may happen,
absolutely.
Which we all have had that happen.
Yep.
But let's learn from those mistakes. And I think you nailed it when you had mentioned that you need to be able to take something away from it. And I've always thought that failure is okay, but it's really hard.
Oh, yeah.
I am a high competition person. I think we'll talk about strengths, but that's one of my strengths. And it also beats me down because I always want to make sure that I don't fail. But I have to remind myself that failure is key to moving forward and to growing.
And I think that's so important, and that is the next question. You know how this works is what it, you know, what is one of your superpowers that's really contributed to your success throughout your entire life?
Yeah. You know, I think strengths are a really good gift, and there's a multitude of strengths that really help us together. There's one strength in combination with my other strengths that I believe have helped me, and that's focus. Hmm. And when I look at focus, especially in the career that I'm in right now, helping leaders lead organizations, helping executives find opportunities, I'm able to sit down with them and make them feel really special because I'm able to focus on our conversation. I'm able to focus on what they are saying, and they are feeling heard, and that I'm listening to them, and that they are being heard, and I'm able to articulate what they told me, and also identify what's next in their career and help them with that journey on their own. So focus combined with a relator is really one of my strong attributes that I utilize.
I love that. And, you know, going back to, you'd mentioned the competition being one of the characteristics. Mm-hmm. And if that pendulum swings too far in any direction, I always say that a strength can become a weakness if it's overutilized or
Absolutely.
Overstimulated or whatever that is.
Right.
And it's finding that balance is really where the superpower, mm-hmm. I believe, comes from, is when you're in that, even in that competition,
right.
as a strength, if you're in that sweet spot and that balance of the pendulum, that is a superpower, and it really can be used, you know, to propel you forward.
Absolutely. You're right. And I, you know, from propelling you forward and making sure you don't let it hold you back either.
Yes.
Understanding when to put your strength forward and when to hold them back. Another area that I use strengths is to be able to help companies move forward and not get too many different directions going. And so we talk about what is our focus for this year, what is the focus for this quarter, and do we really hold true to that? And so I try to hold myself and my team members focused on that initiative, and we all like to strategize and come up with ideas,
mm-hmm.
But I really feel it's important to stay focused on the task at hand and to help execute it.
Absolutely. So great. So anybody who needs help with focus, call Susan. Or maybe not. We won't put your phone number in there. I don't want everybody calling you, but that's a great, no, it's just a, it's a great strength, because there are a lot of people when you talk about visionaries or right, a lot of great ideas, just not so much on the execution,
right,
which is the focus side of it. Like the ideas aren't going anywhere. Let's decide on a few.
Right.
To start taking steps towards. So I want to get to our topic of talking about that, balancing success with also doing something significant. And the reason that you and I got on this topic, and this is just something that I don't think is generational, and I don't think it's I don't think it's a midlife career crisis kind of thing. I think we're seeing it in the younger generations now, and you're probably definitely seeing it in the recruiting space and talent.
Yeah.
Is it's not success to significance. Like, I'm going to be successful, and then one day I'll be able to do something more significant. Mm-hmm. It's success and significance coming hand in hand for people to really feel successful. So I'm just curious on your journey, you know, how you look at this or what you've seen in other people that you've coached and helped.
Absolutely. Well, significance is different to different people.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you understand what is significance to you. And I've had to reflect and ask myself, what is significance to me? And originally, I thought significance was that next title or that next achievement in my career. And I've had to self-reflect on what that means to me. And significance isn't really about that next career, title. It's really about, how can I help myself? How can I help my peers? How can I help others grow? It's in many different fashions. And I'll use an example. I was talking with an individual, an executive lately, and she's very happy in her career and she's progressing and moving forward. But we got to talking about, well, what would that next impact on her career look like? Because she's doing very well, traveling quite a bit. However, one of the things that's missing is an organization that has a purpose. And we talked about that. Well, what does that purpose look like for you? And every organization or every person has a different vision of what purpose is for them. So when we got to talking about what the purpose is for her, it was really aligning with one of the companies that I had been working with. And it's purpose from a professional perspective, but it's also purpose from a personal perspective as well. And so that's where I've seen it shift, that people are really thinking about purpose personally and professionally, and they're melding together where they may not have 15, 20 years ago. And you are right, I'm having those conversations with everybody at all levels of their career. I think especially millennials now, because they see their parents working and they're seeing their parents maybe being a little bit more flexible and investing a little bit more time in them. So they are, I don't know. I think our younger generation may be smarter than us from what they've been learning.
They're not going to wait until they're 50s and 60s, right? They're nearing that age to then all of a sudden decide that they want to do something for them. They're saying, well, what if I could have it both? Yeah. What if I could have both now?
And it's not that anybody is wanting to work less. I don't believe that at all. The conversations that I'm having are they want to make work matter. They want to make a difference. And so a lot of people don't want to sit in meetings all day. They want to make sure that the work that they're doing has an impact and it's helping the company grow and move forward. And so sitting in meetings as these executive leaders who have led organizations, now they're going out on their own because they just want to do really good work.
Yes. And I love this dialogue about purpose. We actually, our panel event last week, we talked about that as well in terms of culture and engagement. And, you know, the idea of purpose being something deeper than just what we do, right? The widget that we make or the service that we provide. It's got to be deeper than that. And I know there are a lot of businesses that are struggling with that right now, because they're purpose, depending on the leader, is to hit certain revenue targets, right, and to build a company and this kind of thing. And that's, I'm not saying that's not important at all for your business to exist, right? That has to be there. But I think they're being forced to dig a lot deeper to draw the right people to their organization. And a lot of them don't, are struggling with it, or struggling with what their purpose is as an organization. That just because we manufacture something doesn't mean we don't have a purpose,
right,
to what we do. And we can't have a purpose even outside of the product that we make, right? How can we have that social responsibility and make what we do feel more significant than just the product that we create? And are you seeing that with a lot of companies that you work with as well?
I do. I see that there is a challenge and they're wanting more. I think it's embedded for so long that it's about revenue and growth, which that's why we're here in business. Mm-hmm. But I think they're struggling, and so they are reaching out and looking to others to seek more. I was just speaking with a gal this morning, and that's kind of what her role is to help companies
love that.
With, and I don't want to say brand themselves, but how do they change their overall brand that aligns with a purpose and truly and meaningfully do it, not just to put it out there, but not follow through with it.
Yep.
And so that's really what she's focused on. And it's interesting, I was reading a blog from a gentleman that I know, and he's been in business, his company's been in business for 10 years, and it really wasn't about his business. It was about why they started the business, and it was to help individuals in poverty. And so he was more excited about the growth of the organization and what they've been able to do to help poverty, and their business is in IT consulting. So it has nothing to do with it. So I think, to your point, companies want more. I think ones that are established are just struggling to find what that more is.
Yeah, or connect with it. Maybe they had it at one point, and sometimes we lose it, right? Or
Absolutely.
We go through, you know, you see a lot of companies that went through 08 and 09 and are like, we just survived back then, and it's almost like they lost some of that.
Right.
And how do we get that back? And I think it's becoming increasingly, any recruiter I talk to is like, those are the kind of questions that people are, and it's not just millennials that are asking that. It's all generations are like, if I have a choice, which everyone does, the good talent has a choice today, right?
Absolutely.
In the market, and they want to work for a company and for leaders that lead with a purpose.
Right.
And do something greater. I was reading a book, and this was all new to me. You probably are aware of this, but a lot of brands are starting to partner and do what I would call track your impact, where you buy a product and you can track it all the way through to a purpose, like clean water, or, you know, like where they're actually funneling that money versus I go to the cash register to check out at the grocery store and they ask me if I want to give $2 to something and I feel horrible saying no, but I'm like, but I already give my money somewhere, right? The $2,
exactly.
They're doing studies to say no one likes that. They want to actually see that it got to somewhere if I'm going to buy that product.
Absolutely. And they want it to be meaningful to them. And I hate to use the our behemoth Amazon, but it's very true. They have and I'm blanking if it's Amazon Smiles, I think, and you can contribute to your
directly.
Own charity. Mm-hmm. And more companies are doing that. And I look at Tom's shoes, and they also donate shoes. But if you don't want to donate shoes, you can donate to another charity of your choice.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great conversation that we need to start having in our, you know, hiring world. And not just at the point that you're hiring somebody, but at the point that companies are getting their name out there and having those deep conversations.
For reasons other than just their product.
Absolutely.
Right, or revenue.
Right.
And it's driving the conversation that purpose and profits don't have to be, it's one or the other.
Right.
Purpose can actually drive profits.
Absolutely.
In a really good way. But it doesn't have to be we either are a purpose-driven company or a profit-driven company. I think it's a great dialogue that's happening. So I love
Absolutely.
That you're hearing it as well. I want to talk about just as we go through phases of our careers, right? And we kind of talked about this, is those points of inflection and change where you stop and you do the reflection and just say, there's got to be something more, right? There's got to be something. And I know significance and fulfillment is different for everybody, but what guidance do you get people when they get to that point? Because that can be a very scary point, because not everybody has the situation where they can just jump off the cliff and go decide to do something totally different. What guidance would you give someone that's listening, that's stuck at that point?
Yeah.
And how to move forward?
Well, and I've been there. And so it was interesting. myself, because I've always been giving the guidance, and then I was in a situation where I had to also understand what is that significance for me. So I think number one is taking that time to reflect, and it doesn't mean you don't have to quit working, but making sure you have that time to reflect, and reflection of what did I enjoy doing in the past? What made me happy? What are the moments? So if I, you know, if I look back at the times that I really enjoyed doing what I was doing, or what made me happy, what was that moment? So that's what I mean by reflection, of taking those moments that, that you thought, this is
high
this
energy,
is the high
this
moment
is,
that I was loving what I was doing. And then just writing those moments down. And so you can have that feeling of what you felt like. And to be honest, I think it's very important to collaborate with others. And what I mean by that is talk to those that know you, because they know your energy when it was the highest. They're your advocates. So meeting with those individuals that are your cheerleaders, that can lift you up and bring those insights out to you. Career coaches, I think those are some really good conversations as well that have helped me just reflect on it. So having kind of a multitude of individuals to reach out to.
Different
perspectives. Your friends, family, mentors. And I know in my career I haven't necessarily said, hey, this person, you are my mentor. However, I've felt of them as my mentor and have reached out to them. So I think that's really important. And then also reflect on your past career and reach out to your former colleagues and ask them, what impact did I make on your life? And it's amazing what you'll get, how you feel, and how you can kind of start paving that new path for you. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be big and take a lot of time, but make sure that you take that hour or two for yourself each week without the distractions.
To really, and again, involve people where appropriate, people that know you, because they see a different view of the world. And it's important for them to kind of challenge you, right, with different questions. And I tell the story that when I finally decided to leave corporate America and go out on my own, I was reconnecting with a couple of managers that I'd had right early in my career that were just role models and just mentors for me that were still in corporate. And when I met with them, I was excited and telling them about what I was doing and scared at the same time. And I remember at different times, both of them going, it's about time. Like, I knew you were going to do something like this. Like, they had kind of seen it in me, and, you know, and not directly told me, but they had given me opportunities and they had kind of, you know, shoved me out of the nest. And it was just fascinating for me to be like, okay, these people saw it in me before I saw it in me, and the change and what you can do. And so it is important to have that, that internal reflection. And I'm surprised at how many of our coaching clients, when we talk about this with them, like, tell me, if you could think about your best job, the best point in your career, you know, tell me about the environment, tell me about your manager, tell me, they've never stopped to think about it. So many people have never stopped to say, wow, I'm not even, I took a left turn and never realized that was the wrong left turn. And if I just went back to when I was happiest, that might be the spot. Like, it's that aha moment, because we never slow down.
Yeah. Well, it's because we take the path that we believe that we should be taking.
We shut ourselves to death. It's what it is, right? This is the right thing to do. This
is
the path I'm supposed to go from here to here to here, right? Based on my degree and my experience, and we never kind of get outside of those boundaries.
Right. And we always think of a path as an upward motion, meaning you have to move upward in order to be successful and significant. However, success is not always upward movement in terms of career advancement. It could be upward movement in just learning something new, challenging yourself in a new fashion. And so that's where I think that we get challenged by looking at upward movement as a career title advancement versus upward movement as adding more skills to our repertoire.
Yes, and I would say the happiest people that I know, even at the highest levels of corporate roles and what other people would see as success, the happiest ones are the ones who have a lot of different tools in their tool belt, not the ones that have just kind of stayed on the path and climbed the way they were supposed to climb, because that can be really miserable. Absolutely. Even at the top, it can be very like, okay, this is all there is,
right,
kind of thing, and that's what you know. And so I think the people that have that variety and have different experience to pull on in situations are often the happiest.
Yeah, absolutely.
People. I love that. How do you see, as you're talking to people in transition and candidates, right, and I call the recruiting space and job transition, you know, how are you seeing this conversation change, right, as people are looking for companies? And we talked about purpose is clearly one of those things, but how are you, because I think there's a lot of business leaders that listen in too to say, how are we going to get talent?
Absolutely.
And it's, we have to change maybe the questions and the dialogue and how we're talking about our business as well.
Well, it's number one, having organizations talk about it, because one of the things that I've noticed is when companies are looking to hire, they put out a job description, and it really is a job description versus an advertisement, and it's not speaking to the purpose and the fulfillment that this role will bring the next individual. Yeah. And so individuals are reluctant to, if you want to call it, apply or engage in a conversation. However, when I have a full understanding of the purpose of the organization and I'm able to really articulate that to an individual, they get more excited. So I think, you know, I'm speaking to the more of the corporate side here, is to be able to engage with potential candidates in a different fashion than a written job description. Mm-hmm. And from a candidate perspective, we absolutely are having those conversations from day one in terms of what do you need for your personal growth or to make you feel significant, and what is that impact? So it is changing conversations. Whenever I'm contacting someone about an opportunity, that's probably one of the most important things. Like, what is the company doing? What's new about the organization? Yep. Because it's a small town, relatively, in the Twin Cities. And they typically know what's going on in the industry, but they don't know the deep insides of, you know, the purpose change for an organization.
Yeah.
And so for a candidate, absolutely, the conversations are starting from day one. And if they're not understanding if there's a different change or purpose, that's making a big impact on whether they want to continue on conversations.
To even apply. And right. I had a client a couple weeks ago, and they're an awesome company, manufacturing, right? So they're a little more conservative. But he sent me the job posting because I said I might know someone. Right. They're looking to hire a role. Let me see. I'll post it online. And he sent it to me. And I replied and said, I can't share this with anybody. Mm-hmm. I said, this is bad. Like, I get that it's about what the job is for, but this doesn't tell me anything. No one's going, you're going to have a tough time having somebody apply. And I was like, I don't know how he's going to take this, but I feel like I have to tell him.
Right.
And he replied and said, you're right. We've been looking at all our job descriptions. And the one he sent back a week later, I was like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's all about who you are as a business. And then I'll get to the position. I already see the title. Like, tell me who you are and then tell me about the job, right? That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I always thought of job descriptions as job deterrents. And why I say that is because they truly, to your point, they're thinking about it more of what the duties are and what the candidate may want to know about the duties, but really the candidate wants to know their impact. And so a lot of times it's weeding out really good candidates.
Totally.
Number one, because maybe they don't have the exact skill that is requested, but they have the aptitude and the attitude.
Yep. That's so true. So for those of you listening that have horrible job descriptions out there, call Susan or I and let's get them updated, because it's very impactful. And unfortunately, it's not something you can measure. You can't measure the people that didn't apply for your role.
Absolutely.
Right? But when you're not getting them filled, I think you need to be looking at that or get some help.
Right. Especially in the lowest unemployment rate that we've ever seen or I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I've been in the industry for 20 years.
You've got to tell a different story. And that's not just with a job description either, you know, with your talent brand in general. And so many companies, when I say talent brand, they're like, what's that? Right? Or employment brand or whatever you call it, is you have to have one. There are a lot of companies who there's not enough information out there for me to know if I would even want to apply, because I don't know someone that works.
Exactly.
You know, the big companies don't have that issue, but you have to have a talent employment brand that's positive out there on social media and what you're doing and what your employees are doing.
Absolutely.
And really changing that dialogue, because people can find out so much about your company.
It is very different today than it was even 10 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. So any other just words of wisdom? You've just had such an amazing career, and you just so connected, and just business leaders and everything that you've done. Just any other words of wisdom that you would share with our listeners, knowing that this is about helping them get unstuck yeah. with whatever that is.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing that I have told others, and I've told myself in those moments, is have confidence in yourself and your abilities. If you have that confidence in yourself and your abilities, you'll be able to go to the next stage. You'll be able to challenge yourself to something you never thought was possible. And also, in that confidence, know your true value. And if you're not feeling valued, it's time to look at another opportunity where you know that people can value what you bring to the table.
I love that. And just, again, tying it back to the whole topic of significance is that value multiplies when you're in a place that really you like values it and utilizes it to the fullest. And if you're in a place where your strengths aren't being utilized, right, your talents and your gifts aren't being utilized, then it's going to be very hard for you to be successful. And you're, again, success is a, you know, it's whatever success means for you, but it's going to be very hard to feel successful or confident if you're in that space. And you use that word confidence. And I experienced that in my career too, where I stayed someplace too long or stayed in a role too long, where my confidence actually started getting deteriorated. And you have to catch yourself before that happens, because it's not really something wrong with you. It's that you're in a role that's making you second guess how good you are or what your value is.
I completely agree. And for those who've been there, we realize that we don't want to do that again.
Correct.
Because it takes a lot more to recover than it took for us to get to that down place very quickly. So recognize it really quickly in time to look at other opportunities when you feel valued.
Yeah, and I think we're in a really great time right now where you can take that chance. And again, it's different for everybody, but you know, with the labor market and unemployment, is you can take that chance to try something different and have that confidence that you have skills that can get you something different. And I think the big message here today is making sure that people understand that success and significance do not have to be it's one or the other, right? You can have it all in a job. And you're seeing more and more of it. You know, you have to look for it. You have to connect to the right people like you that know the companies that are actually doing it.
Right.
And I think that's the important piece too, is making those connections. So, because I know people are going to want to, if they want to connect with you, if they want to know more about what you're doing at Farron and, you know, the cool work that you guys are doing with amazing clients, what's the best way for them to get in contact?
Okay. So probably two of the easiest ways. LinkedIn is probably the most common and effective way. You can find me at Susan Rylance, and that's R-Y-L-A-N-C-E. The other way you can get a hold of me is through an email, which is susan@hellofarren. And Farren is spelled F-A-H-R-E-N. So susan@hellofarren.com.
And we'll put all of that in the podcast notes so that people can just, I always say, as they're driving or running or whatever else they do while they're listening to podcasts, so they've got that and they can reach out if there's a way that you can help them or just, you know, give them advice and connect. I know that she is a connector, so I knew you would be open to that. So I want to thank you for coming in here and having this discussion. I think it's something, it's not the first and won't be the last time I think that we have these types of discussions, because people need to hear this over and over again. You know, when you're in that space and you want to change, you just sometimes need to hear another person's story and then how they've gotten through it. So I appreciate you sharing your story and the good, the bad, and the ugly. As we always say, you know, it's a bit of both or a bit of everything. And so to the listeners, you know, as always, grateful for you engaging with us. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast so you always get the latest and greatest when we release them. And thanks for just really engaging as a community and having the discussions that we're having. And we know the impact that this is having on helping you just shift your paradigm a little bit to get to that next level of success. Whatever that is for you, it takes getting advice from people and getting unstuck with whatever is holding you back, because we all go through those moments. So thank you for engaging, and we look forward to next time. Thanks, everyone.